Just look on this one. We're looking to like catch up with this.
See y'all. Welcome to Pine Grove Baptist Church. Thank you for being here this morning. It's always good to worship with my church family, so it's good to see every one of you here. Wanted to do the announcements real quick before we start with worship. There's not many announcements to make. We are coming up on it. It's hard to believe it's that time of year, but we're getting pretty close to when we need to have all the items for Operation Christmas Child. So see Miss E if you need to know kind of what else we need, or if you don't have time to pick up the items, if you just want to donate some money, she'd be glad to go shopping for you, and we'll make that happen. That's a great ministry that we love to be a part of. So I want to invite you, if you can make it, be here on Wednesday nights for Bible study. We always have a great time together in God's Word. The youth are meeting, and the GAs and the RAs are meeting as well, so I want to invite everybody back on Wednesday nights. And if you're a visitor here with us this morning and you've never filled one of these little tear-off sections out in the bulletin, if you would do that for us to turn it in, that would just give us a way to get in contact with you and just tell you what's going on with the church and learn a little bit more about each other. So I would appreciate it if you would do that. I want to just ask our church family to be in prayer for Brother Albert Blunt lost his son David yesterday, and so we want to continue to lift up that family in prayer and just pray that God's hand will be on them in a special way and comfort them as only He can. And we also want to lift up the family of Kayla Martin. She passed away yesterday, and so anytime you lose a loved one, it's a difficult time. So as a church, we want to lift up those in our community that are struggling. So just ask you to remember them in prayer. So let's have a word of prayer now together before we begin worship, all right? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, so much for bringing us here today, Lord. Thank you for giving us the health and the ability to come together as a church family. I pray that everything that we do, Lord, our worship, I pray it be pleasing unto you. I pray, Lord, that everything else that we do, when we open your word and when the sermon is given, I pray that you anoint that and that you give each one of us ears to hear and hearts to obey what your word has to say to us this morning, Lord. We love you. We do pray your comfort and your presence in a special way for the Blunt family and for the Martin family. Just pray, God, that you would be with them. We are thankful that the word says that you're near to the brokenhearted and you're close to those who are crushed in spirit. So we hold on to that. We hold on to those promises of the word that we don't have to walk through these dark valleys alone, Lord. So we lift them up to you, pray that you would comfort them, and pray that you'd be with us this morning as we lift your name. So we love you, Lord. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
All right, if you would, stand to your feet, and we're going to have some time of worship. So, Brother Robert, I'm going to turn it over to you.
I am so glad to have Miss Diane. How about you guys? So, let's start out today singing, I Sing Praises. Forget about your troubles. Forget about opportunities. Let's worship the Lord today. Give Him the praise that He deserves. I sing praises to your name. Oh. Oh. That is a great song. The next song we're going to do is Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. Is your chains gone today?
Amen.
Have you accepted the Lord as Savior? You could be coming here and you've sat here and you've listened. Our pastor gives the gospel every time he stands up. And you've heard it and you've heard it. Do you want your chains gone? Do you want to be free? And it's not because of how good you are, what you have done, hadn't done, going to do, how wonderful you are. It's because of this amazing grace from Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. I exalt thee. Folks, let's worship him. Let's just sing these words. Not to me, not to anybody else. Let's sing it to him. And let's honor and glorify him this day.
All the redeemed and the purified.
Linda's going to sing a song for us today, and I'm going to assist her. She's been wanting to sing this song for some time, and she says that it really applies to the day that we live in. It's entitled One Day at a Time. We were going to do it a few weeks ago, and then Diane didn't show up, so we couldn't do it then because she was sick. And so, Miss Linda, let's sing the song, okay? I'm going to get it right up to you.
I'm just a person.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Linda. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Diane. That was a wonderful song, and it really is applicable to the days that we're living in. All we can do with everything that's going on is just take it one day at a time and trust in Him. Yes, ma'am, Miss Kayla. Testimonies used to be common in church, you know, and sometimes we don't make time for that anymore, but we need to, right? So if God lays something on your heart and you want to share it with your church family, I'm all for it. So, anybody else? Okay. All right, thank you all. I love this church. I just love the heart of our members to glorify God, and so I thank you both for sharing that, and I thank you all for being here and worshiping the Lord today. All right. So, the year was 2004, and a much skinnier version of me, on a Friday night, went with a friend to a dance club, a salsa dancing club of all places, and y'all already know I can't sing, but what you don't know is that my singing is incredibly good compared to my dancing ability. So it was a little ridiculous that I was at this dance club in the first place, but I was incredibly uncomfortable going to this place. And in fact, I was so uncomfortable that I called my friend and backed out of it, and then she ended up talking me into going anyway. And so we got there early. They did lessons at this place. Well, the lessons didn't help any. But anyway, later on into the evening, I see three people walk in that I knew from my church. One of them was a girl named Casey, one of them was a guy named Daniel, and the other one was a beautiful girl named Kristen. And so I danced with her, stepped all over her feet, and later, sometime that night, I asked her out for the next night. She said yes. And so now, 16 years later, we're still together, and I never could have imagined how incredibly blessed and happy that my life would be with her. Now, we could have come together, connected in a million different settings, but it just so happens that we came together in a salsa club that I didn't want to go to in the first place. Something incredible came into my life, and it happened. happened when I got out of my comfort zone and I got uncomfortable. And so this morning we're starting a new sermon series called Uncomfortable. Let me explain what the series is about. The culture that we live in today is a culture of comfort. It's being sold to us everywhere we look. We're encouraged to do what we want, when we want, with whoever we want, how we want. If something's uncomfortable, then we want to avoid it at all costs. And faith and church are often sold in the same manner, in the same way. But here's the problem. The Christian faith is meant to make us uncomfortable. So in this series that we're going to do, our goal is to help people embrace and understand and see the beauty and the hope that come with being a part of God's people, the church. So I'm calling the sermon this morning, We, Not Me. And as we'll talk about in a few minutes, church is often thought of in the terms of a consumer and a product, but it's not supposed to be that at all. This is God Almighty's church. And if we're not doing things His way, then we're wasting our time, right? This is not Burger King where we have it our way, right? This is His way. And there's, if you think about it, there are so many aspects of church that are uncomfortable, aren't there? Let's think about a few of them. If you've ever been the new person at church, it can be uncomfortable. You know, you kind of walk in, you feel like there's a spotlight on you, like everybody in there is looking at you. You know, and like you don't quite fit in sometimes. I felt that way walking into a new church before. But for some people, praying in church is really uncomfortable, right? And you're not sure if you know what to say, and you just feel uncomfortable with public speaking. And so that, if you get called on to pray in church, that's really uncomfortable, right? How about, you know, at the end of every service, we have a response time, an invitation time. Walking down an aisle and talking to a pastor or kneeling at an altar, right? That can put us way out of our comfort zones, right? How about sharing our faith with somebody? How about telling somebody what Jesus did for us, how we became saved, how we were set free, right? That makes most people pretty uncomfortable, doesn't it? Then there's things that we're not able to do right now because of the pandemic, like the meet and greet, right? There's a whole lot of awkward that happens in the meet and greet. Can anybody relate to that? It's kind of, you know, the preacher says, all right, stand up and find somebody and tell them good morning. And you walk up and you do the fist bump or the handshake or the side hug or whatever you do. And a lot of times it's awkward, right? There's a whole lot of that. There are so many aspects of church that make us uncomfortable, right? These are just a few that came to mind. For years, church attendance in our country has been on the decline. And not only that, for years in our country, the number of people that profess to be Christians, that's on the decline as well, right? And that's interesting to me because for the last 20 or 25 years or so, there's been a huge movement, not necessarily in this church or every church, but just in many churches in general. There's this seeker-sensitive, attractional method of doing church where we try to anticipate what will make people comfortable and what will draw them in, and we try to make church as much like that as possible. And for a while, that method really drew in a lot of people. And in some churches, it still does. There are large churches that are still very attractional based, and they still draw in a large number of people. But those churches are the exception, right? For every huge church, there are hundreds of smaller churches that exist around the country and around the world. Well, God is still good and Jesus still saved, so why are the numbers in churches declining? Why are there less people committed than ever to a local church? Why is that? I really want you to hear my heart on this. I'm not trying to guilt anybody with anything we talk about this morning. I don't like guilt. Guilt doesn't work. It's manipulation. And as your pastor, that's not what I want to do. It's not what I believe in. All these things that we're going to talk about in the whole study for the next couple of weeks, They may not directly apply to you, but I want to ask you, and I'm asking myself, to prayerfully consider everything that we talk about and look for ways to use it, whether it's using it personally or whether God can use it in your life to help and minister to somebody else. So my goal each week is to hold up the truths of God's Word. And my goal is to allow the Bible to speak truth and hope and life into our hearts. The Bible teaches us that the church was created by God. And it also teaches that being committed to a local church is vital to living for Jesus and growing in spiritual maturity. So I want to get us started with a couple of verses from Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 together to see what the Bible says about the church. Verse 24 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." That's one of many, many scriptures that teach that we're meant to live the Christian life together in fellowship and not apart in isolation. Together often means being uncomfortable. Right? I'll just go ahead and admit, as a pastor, there are many situations I get in where I'm uncomfortable. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond to something. I don't know how to lead. Right? There's a lot of experiences like that I have, and I know that there are for you as well. But I believe the benefits we get from being a part of the church, they far outweigh the sacrifices that we make to be a part of it. I truly believe that. So let's pray together before we continue. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. I pray, God, as we learn more about what it means to embrace being uncomfortable and to dive into those situations that we naturally just want to run from. God, I pray that everything we say and everything that we do would glorify you, God. I pray that you would speak to your people, and I pray that you give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. We love you, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so 3 points I want to share with you this morning. Number one, church is not about our preferences. It's about knowing God. Church is not about our preferences. It's all about knowing God. But there are a lot of things in our life that are all about our preferences, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. There's a lot of things, if you just think about it, so many things. Like the way we watch TV has certainly changed from years ago to the way it is now. Now we've got all of these streaming platforms where you can watch whatever you want on demand, right? So I'll just use Netflix as an example. Like, I love 80s movies, so if I watch Karate Kid or something, right, Netflix is going to then put up a row, and it'll say, because you watch Karate Kid, here's 15 other 80s movies, and all you got to do is click on it, and there you go. And so it caters what it shows me to choose from according to my preference, right? That's just one example. We're trying to plan a trip to Gatlinburg later in the year. And so anybody ever book a property on VRBO? Anybody ever do that? A few people maybe? Vacation Rental by Owners. It's a website. So you go on there, you put in the city you want to go to, you put in the date you want to go, you put in how much you want to pay, you put in how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, you put if you want a pool or a hot tub or both, you put everything you want, and then it only shows you the properties that fit your what? Preferences. Right? It's in everything that we do, right? You can, you used to have to go to the grocery store to get your groceries. Well, now you can drive up and pick them up. They'll bring them to your car, or you can have them bring them to your house. The guy that delivers ours all the time drives a really loud Mustang, so I know when my groceries are there, right? It drops them off on the porch. That's it. I mean, everything is about our preference and convenience. In a lot of ways, it's awesome. I love that. I don't want to go to Walmart. Nothing against Walmart, but I like having stuff dropped off on the porch. There's so many examples like that, but all those examples are consumer-based, right? There's a product being marketed to a consumer, right? And unfortunately, sometimes with faith and in the church, that same sort of mentality creeps in. I'll tell you another story. It's been almost 10 years ago now that I went on a mission trip to Uganda. Uganda's right there in the heart of Africa. A wonderful place. I really hope to get to go back someday. It was awesome. And then so many memories about that trip stand out to me. And one of those memories involves a local guy that was hired to help our team work on the construction of this church. And I'm not talking about mixing up cement and bricks. I'm talking about cutting down little bitty trees and using vines to tie them together. It was basically a hut with an elevated roof as this church that we were building. And so this guy, much older than me, showed up, and he worked circles around me. I couldn't keep up with this guy. He was awesome. And so we stopped for lunch, and everybody got what they had to eat and sat down on the ground. And so several guys started talking to this guy about God and about what he believed, and I sat down with them right about the time that they were about to share the gospel. And so we all shared the gospel with this guy, and he said that he was interested. He would like to possibly be a Christian, but then he said, I want to know something first. We said, okay, what do you want to know? And he said, well, I've worked other jobs like this, and I've worked with Muslims, and they've told me about God, and they've told me about how much better my life would be if I followed their God. And they also told me that if I'll just follow their God, that they'll make sure that I don't ever have to worry about having a job. They'll make sure I don't ever have to worry about being able to feed my family, right? So he said, here's what I want to know. What is your God going to do for me? Right? We were kind of shocked by that. I mean, you don't really hear somebody just blatantly say it like that. Now, there's a lot of people that still come to God in the exact same way in our country. They might not just say it out like that, right? And so, the best we could, we explained to him that being a Christian is not necessarily going to make you financially rich, but it's going to make you spiritually rich. Being a Christian, you're not necessarily going to get all of your wants, but all your needs are going to be met because God's faithful to provide. Right? We talked about how eternal life is available to the Christian because we believe there's only one way to heaven, and it's in the name of Jesus. Right? And so we explained all these things, and he said, well, I need some time to think about it. Right? I'm not sure. I need some time to think about it. He's supposed to come back the next day and work. He didn't come back. Now, he may have come back after we left. We were only over there for 10 days. But the one day that we had a chance to interact with the guy, that's how the conversation went. And so that hard-working man was considering the most important question that any of us will ever answer, right? What will I do with Jesus? But he was considering Islam and Christianity, and he was trying to figure out which one was the better deal instead of trying to determine which one is true, right? Many people approach church with a consumer mindset. Is church supposed to be like that? No. According to the Bible, absolutely not. And yet, many churches for years and years have attempted to cater to people as if they're consumers and the gospel is the product. That's been going on for decades, and yet church attendance has declined. Numbers of believers have declined. Churches have intentionally tried to be low committal to non-committal, and they expected that this would draw in more people, but the opposite has occurred. It just hasn't worked out as many people, church growth experts, expected it would. Let's look at a verse together. 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 4, it says, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So Peter refers to Jesus as a living stone, right? And that's sort of the combination of two contradictory terms, right? But it's done intentionally to make a point. A stone is an inanimate object, right? But yet Peter says Jesus is a living stone. So just like a large stone was used to be the foundation for buildings in biblical times, and just like a concrete slab is the foundation for buildings now, Jesus is the foundation of the church. That means Jesus is the foundation of my life and your life, because guess what? We are the church, right? It's not this gymnasium. It's not that building over there. We are the church. And Jesus is our foundation. Verse 4 says, we come to the living stone. That's Jesus. We come to him for salvation. There's no other name by which we can be saved. That's Peter said that in his sermon in Acts chapter 4. Those who come to Jesus are being built to be a spiritual house and a royal priesthood. Peter saw the church as a living temple to which God was adding with each addition. Every conversion, he was adding a stone to this spiritual temple. That imagery and that concept is so important for God's people to understand. We've been saved from our sins, right, so that we can enjoy eternity in the presence of God. And we've been saved so we can participate in God's mission, right? His mission is to add other believers to his church. And we have a role to play in that mission. And it's not supposed to be some secondary thing in our lives. It's supposed to be our purpose for living. We exist as Christians to give God glory and to help others see the glory of God. Amen. Now, just a few verses later, this is in verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now, you remember in the Old Testament, when it's talking about a chosen nation, that's Israel. But after Jesus, we're grafted into the vine. So now even the Gentiles can be included in God's chosen people. And so whosoever will believe, you're part of God's chosen people. And this says we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that we may proclaim the praises of the one who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Nothing about those verses tells us that church should be about our preferences. Peter is presenting an image of a community that is entirely focused on Jesus. It's a community that puts aside preferences and comfort zones for the sake of becoming living stones. It's all about knowing God and worshiping Him as King. And this completely contradicts the consumer-based approach to Christian community, because that places our personal desires for what church should be on the throne, and it tempts us to walk away from community and churches that don't meet our standards, that don't live up to our vision of what the church is supposed to be, right? Well, the reality is, you know, we could do a survey and find out, okay, if you could create your dream church, the perfect church for you, what would it include? We could pass around a survey and we get all kinds of different things that would be important to different people, right? And some of them would be right on the money with, you know, biblical gospel-based preaching, right, and on and on and on. But some of it, you know, I've been to churches where they've got, you know, like a little mini Starbucks-like thing out in the lobby, right? There's all these, you know, you get sort of away from the purpose of the church and you get into making it comfortable, right? Now, that same church, I love the church dearly, and they use the proceeds from that little coffee bar for missions, so it's a good thing, right? But it's just, you can kind of see how some things that are in church are more about preference than about the gospel, right? But I'm thankful that they could use something like that for mission. So the dream church that we all could long for, the church where everything goes the way we want it, the church where only the songs we like get sung, right? The church where the preacher preaches exactly the way that we prefer, for exactly as long as we prefer, right? All those things that we could make a dream church of, right? That church is a myth. There is no church you can go to that's going to meet every one of your expectations, because if it met every one of yours, that means it doesn't meet somebody else's, right? That dream church is a myth, but the church that God created, where King Jesus reigns, that's real and that's eternal. That's what we get to be a part of. And becoming living stones that are acceptable to God, that should be our ultimate aim. Right? We're all pretty comfortable with Jesus being our Savior, because that keeps us from hell. We're good with that. We're all pretty comfortable with Jesus being our shepherd, because every once in a while we wander off and get lost and we need him to pull us back, right? But not as many people seem to be as comfortable with Jesus being King and Lord. We need to remember He has ultimate authority over our lives. So think about all the other things in life that call for commitment that we don't blink an eye at. And yet commitment to being an active member of a local church is more and more rare in our community and in the world. Our careers call for great commitment. We don't blink an eye at that. We're willing to sacrifice for that. Our hobbies call for great commitment. In both time and money, we don't hesitate. Our kids' activities call for great commitment. We don't blink an eye. But being committed to our church, which includes things like being there regularly, serving when the opportunity arises, discipling, being discipled, tithing, fellowshipping, being committed to the church like that seems to be a commitment that most aren't willing to make. Many are, but there are many that are not. It's to our own detriment that when we make that decision, right? The church was created by God for the purpose of bringing people closer to God. And when we stay away, we're hurting ourselves. But we're also hurting others, right? God designed the church so that we can help each other. It's hard for us to help someone when we never see them. On the flip side of that, it's hard to help somebody if you don't know they need help, right? So not only do we need to be here, we got to be willing to let people in. We got to be vulnerable enough to let people know what's going on with us so they can help. I don't know about y'all, if my toes are getting stepped on with this sermon. Amen. I would much rather my toes get stepped on. I would much rather God wake me up and call me out of slumber and into obedience than to continue on making other things in life my priority, and then have to stand before God someday and answer for why I chose to prioritize all these other things and not the things of God. There's a lot of things that get in the way. For many, being committed to a church family, spending time building those relationships, it's hindered mostly because of time, because we're all pulled in a million different directions, right? It's hard to fit into a 7-day week. It's hard to fit all the things that we have to do, the responsibilities that we have, right? I get that. I feel it. I deal with that in my own life every single day. And then for others, it's not really so much a time thing. Others approach church with their preferences in mind. And I'm saying others and there, but you know what? I do it too. I'm not exempt from this. There's things that I assume should be the way I want them just because I want them. I think we all do that to some extent. But we've got to humble ourselves and put God first and others second to keep that from happening. Whether it's priorities or preferences holding us back. Let's all just ask God for the strength to put Him first at all times and in all things. Let's seek to know God and serve God with everything that we have so that others can know the joy and the peace and the love that we know through Jesus our Lord and Savior. All right, the next truth about the church I want to share this morning. Number two, the Christian life is supposed to be uncomfortable, so embrace it. So earlier, we went through all those different examples of the way church experience can be uncomfortable, right? And our natural instinct is to avoid uncomfortable. We all do it in different situations from time to time, but church is one place that we should be willing to be uncomfortable because the blessings we'll receive from God through being a part of His church family are well worth a little bit of discomfort or awkward, uncomfortable moments. Well, not only is the Christian life uncomfortable, it also involves pain and suffering. And nobody should ever be able to say that they tried being a follower of Christ, but they didn't realize that it was going to be such a struggle. You can't read the Gospels. You can't read the words of Jesus and come to the conclusion that life is supposed to be easy and painless. Life is not easy and painless if you're a Christian, and it's not easy and painless if you're not a Christian. Right? Life is wonderful in many ways, and it is extremely hard and heartbreaking in many other ways for everybody. But the Christian takes comfort in the fact that there's life after death, and so we look forward to eternal life in the presence of God. The Christian takes comfort in the fact that God promises to never leave us or forsake us. So we don't have to walk those roads alone, right? So while life as a Christian is not easy, it's richer and fuller and more blessed, and we're thankful for that. Let's look at one of those statements of Jesus, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 25. The one who loves his life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So here, Jesus, predicting his own death in this section of verses, he tells the crowd that following him requires dying to ourselves. Now, those are challenging, countercultural, and really not very comforting words, right? To follow me, you got to die. At first glance, that's not very comforting, right? But what he's saying is that if you love the comforts of this life above all else, you're going to miss out on the comforts of eternal life in heaven. Because this life is not all there is. And we must live with that eternal perspective in mind. Jesus tells us what it'll cost to follow him. It's going to cost our lives. But what we get in return is so much better than anything that this world has to offer. Think about it. We get to live this life with the Spirit living in us. We get to live this life with Jesus interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And we get to live this life with God reigning and watching over us. And then we get to spend eternity in the presence of God, where there's going to be no more sin, no more death, no more disease or hatred or violence or murder or any of those things. That's what we have to look forward to. So as Christians, we should be steadily growing closer to God. One of the main ways that we grow is by leaving our comfort zones and entering into the challenges and discomforts of our faith. But instead of avoiding that, we should embrace it. We should press into the joy of dying to ourselves and living for God and living for others. Is it uncomfortable to let other people in, to be there for others that are going through different problems and different hard times in a lot of ways? Yes, it's uncomfortable, right? But instead of avoiding that, we need to embrace it and trust God to do what His Word says it'll do. The Bible tells us as Christians to bear one another's burdens. The Bible tells us to laugh with those that laugh and mourn with those who mourn. The Bible tells us to help those that are in need. The Bible tells us to forgive others just as the Lord has forgiven us. All of these things require us to be uncomfortable to some extent. Don't run from it. Embrace it. God will bless that when we embrace it. Billy Graham once explained it like this. He put it in the context of exercise. So whether it's lifting weights or jogging, any other physical activity, to gain strength, you have to push the muscles in your body. Right? Graham said, suppose you never got any physical exercise and all you did was sit in your chair or lie in your bed all day. What would happen to your muscles? You already know the answer. They grow weaker and weaker, and eventually you might not be able to get out of bed. He said, our muscles only become strong if we exercise them and challenge them to do more. So the more resistance they face, the stronger they'll get. Right? So bring that back to being uncomfortable. By trusting God, by stepping out of our comfort zones, our spiritual muscles get stronger. When we get spiritually stronger, God uses us more and more for His glory. Okay, third point in the sermon. Church is all about we and not me. This is just sort of summarizing everything we've already talked about. This is what it means to be a Christian. We look out for others instead of just looking out for ourselves. When the church does this and truly embraces this, it's truly a beautiful thing to be a part of. That's why I love being part of this church. We're far from perfect, but in a lot of ways we embrace the struggle together. And I love that. And I want that to continue and grow. Let's look at a passage in Philippians before we finish up. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So Paul wrote these words to the church in Philippi. And he was writing in the context of following the example of Jesus. That when you read Philippians, it's all about how Jesus was our perfect example. Because Jesus lived this way, putting others before himself, right? We as his followers should live the same way. That's what following him means. Living as he lived, following his example. So much division in the body of Christ happens when people stop counting others as more significant than themselves. Because that leads to just selfishness, looking out for our own interests. But we don't want division, do we? We want unity, amen? So a we approach instead of a me approach will bring unity and it will keep division out of the church. The church is a blessing in our lives, and I truly believe it's a gift from God to believers. And I truly believe we can accomplish so much more together than we can apart. We can accomplish so much more working hand in hand than we can on our own. Don't be afraid to embrace the uncomfortable and to be a part of the church. God will use the community that we find in the church to glorify His name and to draw all people unto Himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We acknowledge that coming together and being a church family and living in that community of believers, sometimes it calls us to sacrifice. And it calls us to even do things that are uncomfortable, God. And our instinct oftentimes is to run from that, God. Give us the strength and the commitment, the courage to embrace vulnerability, to embrace sacrifice, and to embrace commitment for your glory. God, I pray, Lord, that through your word that you'll teach each one of us exactly why you made the church and exactly the part that we're supposed to play in that. And I pray that you'll use that, God, to draw other people to you. I'm not talking about drawing other people to a church role. I'm talking about adding to the kingdom, God. Use us as a church family, use us when we separate, when we go to our jobs, when we go wherever we go. We don't leave the church here. We are the church. So help us to embrace that wherever we're at. Help us to point others to you, God. If there's anybody here, Lord, that's never given their heart and life to you, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in their lives, that you would convict, that you would draw them unto yourself, Lord. If there's anybody here today that's hurting, God, I pray that you would touch them. I pray that you would bless them, comfort them. If there's anybody here that's struggling to make a decision, Lord, I pray that you give them wisdom and discernment. Lord, I don't know what everybody's going through, but you do. So, Lord, I just ask that you would bless each and every person, that you would use this time of response that we're about to have to bring glory to your name. We love you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you would, stand to your feet. We're going to sing here and have our time of invitation as we always do. If you've never become a Christian, it's really simple. You just confess that you're a sinner and you tell God that you understand you can't save yourself and you need Him to save you. You understand He died on the cross and He did that for my sin, for your sin. And you just ask Him to save you and forgive you and to lead you from this day forward. And He is good and faithful. He'll do that. He will respond to that call each and every time. So if God is calling you to do that, I'd love for you to come up and let me know about it. If God's moving in your life in any other way and you need prayer, you need help of any kind, come up here and talk to me. I'd love to help you any way I can. I'd love to pray with you over anything that you're going through in life. So anything that the Spirit may be leading you to do in this response time, just be obedient to the Spirit, all right? We're going to worship. Brother Robert. Love you, church. Have a great day. I'll be back to you tomorrow.
Do it.
They really haven't started.
Did y'all record last week?
Yeah.
Okay. No.